Order.
Point of order, the Honourable Trevor Mallard.
Labor's bad boy testing the Speaker's patience once again.
We are not going to have a repeat of yesterday. When I'm on my feet, I expect all members to be silent, and that includes the Honourable Trevor Mallard.
But it was a repeat of yesterday, with David Carter and opposition MPs interrupting each other mid-sentence.
I cannot continue with the points of order when the member's going to continue to talk above me. The member may well shake his head, but there is a certain decorum required in this House that when I'm on my feet, members should cease interjecting.
As well as getting to his feet, the Speaker has the power to silence MPs for the rest of the day.
A member will resume his seat, and if I get another point of order like that, the member will be leaving the chamber for the balance of question time.
Points of order, that is, that challenge his rulings.
Can I just check before I take this point of order that this is a fresh point of order?
It is a fresh point of order,
not in any way relitigating a decision I have already
made. No, I'm not.
But he was.
Mr Speaker, and this I'm going to plead guilty immediately to contesting a ruling, sir.
Order.
A public
order. The member
session
doesn't need to go any
is
further.
Not confidential.
Order. The member doesn't need to go any further. I warned the member that if he was going to raise spurious points of order, I would be asking him to leave the chamber. The member will now leave the chamber.
Mr Mallard headed for the exit, leaving his Labour colleague Chris Hipkins to put up the same argument, which was in support of a request from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters to table a Select Committee meeting transcript, which the Speaker had rejected on the grounds that the transcript had not been reported back to the Chamber. But Mr Hipkins pointed out that it was already in the public domain.
It is a new point of order, Mr Speaker, and the issue that I want to ask you to give a further consideration on is where a Select Committee...
Order! Order!
Where a Select Committee meeting is held in public and a transcript is taken of it, that wouldn't otherwise be available to all members of the House. It seems quite reasonable that a member may seek leave to table that. And so it's not if it was a confidential part of a meeting, therefore, you know, that would be subject to privilege of the committee. But if it is a public session of the committee, then in fact members who weren't present at the meeting would be disadvantaged to members who
Order.
Were.
Order.
So I wonder if you could give some further
Order.
Consideration.
Mr Carter agreed to do that.
Order, I thank the member. I will give it further consideration, but if also affecting my decision will be the fact that all transcripts after the report back are subsequently available to all members.
Question time was followed by the general debate, with the government then turning the chamber over to backbenchers to make progress on their bills, including Sue Moroney's members' bill extending paid parental leave to 26 weeks, now entering its penultimate committee stage. And now from that chamber to the committee rooms, where Rhys Lyon reports on a new petition.
The Health Committee today continued its consideration of a petition in the name of Anne Chapman, calling for a greater choice of mental health treatment methods and better options for reducing dependence on psychiatric medication. Speaking to the committee in support of the petition was Marion Blake, Chief Executive of the Platform Trust, which specialises in mental health treatment. Ms Blake agreed there needed to be more treatment options for mental health issues.
It's about diversity. It's about whatever response people respond to, you know. And for some people, medication is absolutely critical, and you will have heard that it's a really important part of what they do. And for other people, it's something else. So I think it's actually having a range of stuff that's available, not just one.
Ms Blake called for better workforce integration strategies.
So a support worker will work with somebody to find them a job, work with them, help them to get the job, make sure that they know where Dress for Success is so that they can actually, you know, get their gear for their interview, that the kids are minded while the interview is occurring, that they feel comfortable about having that first conversation in the tea room that says, so what have you been doing for the last 3 years? You know, that sort of intensive support that actually gets people back into the workplace and works with the employer to make sure that people are comfortable and it's successful. It works hugely.
And as there was a wealth of research on mental health treatment, now was the time for action.
I think we do need to start looking at what's actually working and implementing it. We've got to be more open about what we're doing, and it's got to be housed in communities in New Zealand, because the solutions will be different. I mean, when there's like different resources available that aren't being used. So we've got to open our system up.
Ms Blake said the opportunity to do that wasn't possible at present.
I would say this, wouldn't I? But the DHB funding system doesn't support the development and evolution of community options, because that's seen as someone else's problem.
But it wasn't about reinventing the wheel.
We've got the capacity in New Zealand. We've got an enviable system of community resource, but we're not using it well. We're not using our imagination and creativity well enough.
Platform Trust Chief Executive Marion Blake speaking in support of a petition calling for greater choice in mental health treatment methods and better options for reducing dependence on psychiatric medication.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.